somebody's hand. I don't like to hurt my, but everyone gets weak. Someone to rely on is what I really need.
Welcome everyone to Xena and Uber's podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 93. This podcast show is for all the Xena and Uber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So welcome everyone to another XNU show. We are only 7 episodes away from 100. Woohoo! Wow. What a major, major milestone. I mean, honestly, I never thought that I'd make it to this when I first started it out. And I've made a lot of changes to the show, and I hope that they're positive and that it makes it better for you to enjoy. And, you know, from some of the feedback I've gotten back, you know, it does sound like you do enjoy it. Part of those changes include the upcoming recipe corner, you know, where I'm going to ask everybody to send in recipes, and I'll do a recipe of the week and put the rest of them in the recipe corner so you can have a look in there and see maybe what recipes you'd like to see. I'll try and put them alphabetically, but, you know, it all works and see how we can get the blog to work for us. And I'm working on getting my own website up, believe it or not. So if anybody knows of a particularly good website server host, send me an email, you know, so I can look into it. I appreciate that. And another thing that we're going to be working on is the story section, where listeners and non-listeners alike, you know, you can submit your stories and they can be read by everybody and possibly used in the show, depending on if you give me authority to or not, and you would like to have your story read. And that will commence on the 100th episode, because the winner of the story competition that I've announced, you know, that I said that's part of the 100th episode, is that I want you guys to send in your stories. Make them short stories, 1-2 pages at the most. Any genre, any particular flavor, you know, whether it be Uber, whether it be Xena related, and send them in, and I'll read through them, and the top one will have it read on the show, and then the other ones will hopefully be read throughout later on in the other shows as they come along. Speaking of that, let's get into it, huh? Okay. Firstly, the song for this week's show, the song snippet you hear, is David Guetta's One Love featuring Estelle. So check it on YouTube. Go buy the CD. It's excellent. I love it. It's a nice little dance tune, but it's got a nice little beat to it. So check it out. Well, as usual, by that sound, you know that it's the book recommendation section. And this week's is sent in from Kim. Thank you, Kim. And it's not your normal read. It's more along the lines of, you know, a child's book. But it's a book, nevertheless. And it's called The Lightning Thief. And on what information she says, it's fun, exciting, and full of Greek gods. A must for crazy people like me who wish they could live in the time of myth and heroes. It says, the review goes like this. Percy Jackson is about to be kicked out of boarding school. Again. And that's the least of his troubles. Lately, mythological monsters and the gods of Mount Olympus seem to be walking straight out of the pages of Percy's Greek mythology textbook and into his life. And worse, he's angered a few of them. Zeus's master lightning bolt has been stolen, and Percy is the prime suspect. Now, Percy and his friends have just 10 days to find and return Zeus's stolen property and bring peace to the warring Mount Olympus. To succeed on his quest, Percy will have to do more than catch the true thief. He must come to terms with the father who abandoned him, solve the riddle of the oracle, which warns him of betrayal by a friend, and unravel treachery more powerful than the gods themselves. So, thank you to Kim for that interesting book recommendation. Right, in the movie recommendation, it's actually not a movie, it's a web series from my Movie Wench, aka Web Series Wench now, Pam. She sends in two suggestions this week. The first one is says it's Anyone But Me. And it is a story of a little bit of angst and everything that happens in teenage life. The story opens as a 16-year-old, Vivian McClellan, breaks the news to her girlfriend, Aster, that she's leaving New York City. Vivian's dad, Gabe, is a firefighter with respiratory problems resulting from being in part of the 9/11 rescue effort. Gabe's health has forced him to retire, so he and Vivian are moving to Westchester to start over. Unfortunately, that means Vivian has to be separated from the love of her life. The series is starting their second season. All the episodes can easily be accessed on the www.afterellen.com website. It is a good series, but still makes me glad not to be a teenager anymore. And then the second series is called Seeking Simone, and you all have, of course, all the links to my show notes. And it says, the web series filmed in Canada, starring actress and co-creator Renee Olbert. The series follows Olbert's Simone, a lesbian actress, the star of the fake television series CSIS, Forensic SWAT, as she attempts to find the love of her new home, Toronto. With the tagline, "Online dating has never been so gay," it includes an awkward first date, a lot of ex-girlfriend talk, and the decisions you have to make about what to put on a public social networking profile. So that's it for the two web reviews, actually, for this week.
Join them.
Over on the Renee's site, she has a lot of new updates and informative things going on, such as a great New Year's message, also about some friends of hers having a movie out. So check out her website.
Bring her around! We're going to join them.
And not much going on over at the Lucy Fan Club site, and also at the AUSXIP site. The same thing as everyone on this planet, except for me, is gearing up for the XenoCon in February. So I hope everyone has a great time over there, and maybe someone with very kind and generous listener will send me some photos and tidbits of info so I can put it on the show. Hint, hint. Well, I'm gonna get onto my soapbox now. And, well, in part of that, you know, I'm back to my running, as you all know. I only have 11 months left now for my training to get ready for the marathon. And it's funny, though. People ask me how long is the race, and I tell them, look, it's 26 miles or 42K, depending on who I talk to. And they all get the same reaction.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah. One of the guys at work, he wants to sponsor me on the per mile or the per K basis, as he wants to make sure I run it all. And I'm like, you cheapo. And you utter meanie. So anyways, oh yeah, you know. Oh yeah, I also wanted to update everyone on the insurance company fiasco. You are going to love this. My lovely wife faxed off the letter that I had finally written and sent it off to the underwriters, and they forwarded on, of course, to the insurance company. And I got a call on Thursday. Now, she sent us off on Monday, and I got a call on Thursday from the customer service manager over the insurance company. And she was supremely apologetic and assured me that one of the finance premium managers would contact me very soon as the renewal of the policy comes up within, like, I think it's like 7 more days. And, well, it's midweek here already and nothing yet, but you know, stay tuned, as I'm sure this is not over by a long shot. So anyway, that's all the updates that's fit to be updated, and on with the show.
Come and get
A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good, the last quarter of part 9. Bull?
Yeah, shorty?
Zena was sprawled on her side on the floor, sharing a handful of tidbits with her daughter.
You go bad.
Tori picked up a piece of walnut and looked at it before stuffing it into her mouth. Zena reached over and took hold of Dory's foot, not tickling it, just holding it with a hand.
I know you don't like us to leave, but sometimes we have to, Dory.
Dory scowled.
bad.
She clambered to her feet and toddled over to where Zena was lying, plopping down next to her.
Buko, no fun,
she complained.
Mama go, oh shush.
Zena combed her fingers through the toddler's disheveled hair.
Let me guess, no one will play with you, and no one talks to you, huh?
A pout. Dory, you scare the feathers off the bunch of them, Zena told her daughter, with a rueful smile. They're afraid to hurt you, or that you'll get hurt.
Play, Boo. Play Guff.
Dory fastened her fingers on her favorite playmate's hand and tugged it.
Guff's got hat.
Hat? Did you put something on Ares? Zena asked.
Guff's hat.
Dory put her hands on her head, covering her ears.
Guff no like.
Why would they put a hat on the wolf? Zena wondered.
Guff got owie.
Ah. Ares got hurt? What happened? The warrior asked.
Did you hurt him?
Dory shook her head gravely.
Guff got fishies. Get owie.
She picked up a slice of fruit and held it, biting off the end with such a look of serious concentration, it almost cracked Zena up.
Grandma got mad.
Yeah? Zena mused. I bet Grandma got really mad, huh?
Yes.
Were you scared during the flood, Dory?
Dory looked up with a puzzled expression. Zena thought how to rephrase the question.
When the water came, was that bad?
The toddler thought for a minute, then grinned.
Fun!
The warrior sighed. You're not scared of anything yet, are you?
Dory spread her arms out and then waggled them.
Gush, gush, go fast!
Zena chuckled softly and shook her head.
Dory, Dory, Dory.
She straightened a bit of Dory's jumper.
I can't really say much, because there's not a lot of things I'm scared of either, she told her daughter. Matter of fact, there's only one thing. You know what that is?
Dory bit off a part of an apple chunk and peered at it, then offered the other half to her buddy.
Good?
Zena leaned closer and accepted the tidbit, taking it from the baby's fingers and chewing it.
Thank you, Dory, she smiled. Good girl.
Dory giggled happily and crawled over even closer, snuggling up to Zena's belly.
Boo, 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 boo.
Zena put an arm around her daughter and hugged her.
Hey, Dory.
The round green eyes looked up trustingly at her.
I love you.
Love you.
Dory echoed, throwing her arms around as much of Zena as she could in an enthusiastic hug.
Sometimes, Zena acknowledged, she sat up and cradled Dory in her arms. Sometimes life wasn't fair, because if it was, she wouldn't have any of this.
But that's just how things worked out sometimes. A sound came out of place, and Zena went quite still, extending her senses.
Boo?
Shh, Zena whispered, closing her fingers very gently across Dory's lips.
Come on.
Silently, she got to her feet and walked over to her bags, kneeling with Dory cradled in one arm to rummage into them with one other hand. She found what she was looking for by feeling and pulled it out, hearing the baby's gurgle of happiness as she recognized the object.
Let's get you tucked in here, sweetheart, okay?
She murmured, slipping the carry sack around Dory's body.
Go fly!
Dory chortled. Not exactly. Zena got the straps fastened around her body and turned, rising and leaping across room to get her fingers on her sword hilt just as the door burst inward and chaos entered.
Hang on!
She yelled as she met the first detector, levering his sword out of his hand in one powerful upsweep. There were a dozen, at least, armored, armed, and deadly Sirius. Zena got her back to the wall as quickly as she could and held her ground, forcing them to come at her in groups of twos and threes.
Idiots!
The room was too small for that kind of mass assault. Zena ducked into one wild swing and slammed her elbow into the man's jaw, snapping it backwards with a crunch. Then she whirled and nailed the charging man with a roundhouse kick, connecting with the side of his head and then sending him sprawling into the wall. They massed in front of her.
Morons!
Zena took two steps, then launched into the air, flipping over their heads and landing, whirling in one smooth motion and kicking two of them in the rumps. They lunged forward and hit their heads on the wall, slumping down into an unconscious heap on the floor. An attacker from the side. Zena met his blade with her own, her blood coursing now, and the dark part of her rising fast, bringing a wicked chuckle from her throat as she easily outclassed her opponent, driving him backwards with short,
powerful strokes that ended when she simply hooked his sword hilt with hers and kicked him in the face, throwing him backwards over the table to a crash on the floor.
Boo, boo, boo!
Dora yelled unexpectedly, almost making her jump. She turned to see if the baby was in danger and saw a mace coming at her. She ducked under it and closed with its wielder, too close to use her sword. So instead, she flipped it in her hand and smashed him in the face with the hilts, spattering the stone floor with blood from his broken nose.
Bitch!
A roar from the near door, and Xena turned and leaped sideways, flipping once and landing to meet a savage-bladed attack. Steel crashed against steel as they traded blows, and Xena felt a grin stretching her lips as she gained the upper hand, letting out a wild yell as she started shoving him backwards, his sword swinging desperately to meet hers, only barely deflecting it. Two more bore in from the side, though, and she found herself fighting all three at once. Her body moved in semicircle, blade cutting the air so fast the individual strokes were impossible to see. Her body sensed and reacted with a solid-tempered strength, and Xena kept them back. She could see in their eyes the beginnings of disbelief, of doubt. She let out another yell, this one ringing against the one in stone in triumph, and watched the doubt turn into terror. One missed a stroke and went down, and she had a clear shot at beheading him. She set her shoulders and swung, felt a tug on her hair. Her heart lurched. As the blade touched his cheek, her wrist twisted slightly, and the flat of the blade slammed into the side of his head instead, knocking him senseless to the ground. She reversed her blade and punched the next one. The third got a kick to the groin, so powerful, she lifted his body up a foot and dropped him, screaming to the stone floor. The noise stopped. Xena stood in the middle of the room, her chest heaving, the only one still standing. Men were curled up on the floor, crawling towards the entrance. Half had run already, abandoning their compatriots. Feeling sick, Xena pounced on the nearest conscious one and pulled him upright. She grabbed him by the leather surcoat and laid her sword right up against his neck.
Who sent you?
She rasped, staring him right in the eyes.
5 seconds.
He was young and had pale eyes almost the same color as hers. He was sweating profusely, and she could feel him shaking in her grasp.
3 seconds.
Dennis! Xena released him and stepped back, but maintained her eye contact.
Tell him, she smiled wickedly. Thanks for the practice.
One arm extended, with the sword in it, rock steady as it pointed at the door.
Out!
They ran, carrying their fallen comrades with them. Xena stalked to the door after them and then slammed it shut, pausing and staring at it for a long moment. Then she exhaled in disgust.
Boo?
Xena was silent for a few heartbeats before she answered.
Yeah.
Man's bad.
The warrior peered over her shoulder to find Dory peeking back at her, the baby's disheveled hair mixing with her own, identical in color.
Yeah, they were bad. Bad fighters, bad smelling, bad looking. They were bad, Dory.
Dory pulled on Xena's ear.
Book good,
she pronounced positively.
Badman's come. Boo, bam, 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 all go,
she said.
Good.
Think so, huh?
Xena murmured, thinking of the last-minute change that has spared her life. She handed one to Dory to see that, to see her kill someone like that.
Hop, hop!
Dory hopped in her sack, thumping against Xena's back.
Fun.
Fun. The Dory felt a sense of relief. Dory was too young yet to understand, really. Yeah, it can be fun sometimes, she admitted as she crossed the room and resheathed her sword. But that's not something you're going to ever know about, Dory. Her hands unbuckled the straps and she brought the toddler around to face her.
You're going to be just like your mama, I promise you that.
Boom, boom!
Dory wriggled.
Gomer fly?
With a soft laugh, Xena brought her close and hugged her.
Let me get dressed, then we'll go fly and find Mama. How's that? I'm sure she's managed to find some trouble by now.
Trouble,
Dory repeated.
Go, Mama!
That about said it all, Xena sighed.
The inside of the inn was busy, as patrons enjoyed breakfast before they started off for the second day of the games. There were some furtive looks towards the corner table, which the Amazons had staked out, but there apparently enough
strange visitors in Athens, to make them a curiosity rather than an outright spectacle. Ephne leaned back against the wall room and pushed her treacher away, propping a booted foot up against a trestle leg as she took a drink of her morning ale. Pony was sitting next to her, still munching, and Kate and Palladia were seated side by side across from them, also eating. The door opened, and Effie spotted a familiar figure entering. She lifted a hand and waved, catching Gabrielle's attention, and the bard immediately headed their way, easing her way through the crowded room and taking care not to bap anyone with her staff. Ephne was a little surprised that her friend wasn't wearing the white robes of the game entrance, but had to admit the cool forest tones of the Amazon garb suited her better. In Ephne's very humble opinion, of course. Gabrielle herself seemed more comfortable in the thigh-length wrapped skirt and snug-fitting top, which covered a little more of her lithe body. "Morning," the regent greeted the bard as she approached. Ephne glanced up and waved the fork in greeting, her mouth full.
"Hi."
Gabrielle took a seat at the end of the table, between Kate and Pony.
"Hey, you two."
She grinned at the two younger Amazons.
"Thanks for keeping an eye on Dory."
Kate put her bit of bread down.
"It was absolutely lovely,"
she told the bard firmly.
"She must be awfully glad to be with you, though."
"I think so,"
the bard replied. "She's got her favorite play toy back.
Which reminds me," Gabrielle glanced at Ephne. "Got any of her stuff with you?"
"Cyrene has it," Ephne pointed down the hall. "Second door, right-hand side."
"Thanks."
Gabrielle smiled, then got up and headed towards the corridor.
"I'll be right back."
"I'll order a plate for you," the regent called after her. "No cereal, right?" A pair of mist green eyes peered back over Gabrielle's shoulder, and she shook her staff at her friend before she disappeared into the darkness. "Ah," Ephne exhaled. "Whenever I see her in that outfit, it brings back such memories. One in particular, during the games Gabrielle has spent with them after Xena's death, when the decision had finally come to her to exchange her travel garb for the full leathers and rank markings of the Amazon Queen." Ephne had seen the two dressers leave the Queen's quarters, and she'd paused in the entrance, clearing her throat in lieu of knocking, her eyes fastened on the slight, fair-haired woman within.
"Gabrielle?"
Gabrielle had turned to face her.
"Yes?"
"You look great." Ephne had entered the room, forgiving her friend an encouraging smile. Dark russet Amazon leathers graced Gabrielle's body, carefully fitted around her slim hips and the newly muscled shoulders. They'd put her hair up and added the finely carved badges of her rank, and the eyes that had looked back at her held recognition of how different the outfit made her look.
"Feels a little strange,"
Gabrielle had admitted quietly,
"but I guess I'll get used to it."
She looked down at herself and frowned, tugging a bit of ornate binding down. "Here." Ephne adjusted one of the linked descenders that wrapped Lucy around her biceps. She watched Gabrielle's eyes fasten on her hands as she did it, the bard seemingly pensive and far more docile than usual.
"How are you doing?"
Gabrielle turned and moved away, walking over to the table where her traveling bag rested. Next to it, folded neatly, lay her traveling clothes. She put a hand on the bundle, her thumb rubbing the fabric absently. Ephne had followed her and reached out to take the clothes.
"Here, let me have them put this away for you. I..."
She stopped as Gabrielle's fingers closed on the bundle, tendons suddenly standing out under her tan skin.
"No,"
she whispered.
Don't take them."
There had been a moment of awkward silence between them before Gabrielle had spoken again.
"If I put them away, it's like saying goodbye. I'm not ready to do that yet."
Her lips had tightened, and a blink had dropped from a few tears down her cheeks.
"Not yet."
Ephne had felt just a tiny bit of impatience with her friend, she remembered. After all, she'd seen so much death in her life at the time, and had learned the hard lesson of moving on and taking care of the living.
"Gabrielle."
She moved closer and laid a hand on the younger woman's shoulder.
"Listen, I know this is hard, but it is hard,"
Gabrielle whispered.
"I keep thinking I'll turn around, and she'll be there."
She picked up the carved leather belt and looked at it.
"She made this for me."
That had surprised Ephne, almost to the point of speechlessness.
"Gabrielle, sounds idiotic, I know,"
Gabrielle had admitted to her.
"But I can't help it, Ephne. I need some time."
She picked up the skirt and the top and opened her bag, putting them inside to join the rest of her belongings and those few things
Xena had left behind. Something had dropped out and rolled onto the table. A rock. Ah, now I know why those bags are so heavy. Effany had teased her gently. With a lost, achingly grief-stricken expression, Gabrielle picked that rock up and looked at it. Xena gave this to me, Gabrielle had replied. She said it was from a secret place in the south, near the sea. Her fingers had turned the smooth stone. We were going to go there. Shockingly, then, she stopped, and with a soft oath, taken the stone and whipped it from her, sending it flying across the wall with a sharp crack, shattering the rock into pieces, which danced to the floor. Effany had not known what to say to her. She sensed the feelings running through the blonde-haired woman were so strong. They were dangerous, and she wondered if asking her friend to take the Queen's mask at this moment in her life was truly a wise thing for hers to do. Come on. Gabrielle had wiped the back of her hand across her eyes, removing the tears. Let's get this over with. Full of doubt, Effany had followed her outside, no longer sure she was doing the right thing for any of them.
Hey. Pony poked her. Did you fall asleep?
Effany gave her lover a droll look.
I was just thinking, she replied. But if I was sleeping, it's your fault. You kept me up last night.
Pony's hunter-colored eyes widened as she glanced quickly across the table to the watching junior Amazons. Palladia smirked. Kate merely chewed her bread, a look of polite interest on her face.
Come in.
Sirene looked up from her place seated at the edge of the bed.
Ah, morning, cutie.
Gabrielle smiled and entered, closing the door behind her.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
She greeted her in-laws.
How are you?
Johann was laying in bed, his hand folded over his stomach.
Tired and glad to be in a dry spot, Gabrielle.
He told her.
I hear you had a trip up here yourself.
A little, the bard admitted. F told me about Josk.
Sirene got up and walked over, circling the bard and giving her a hug.
It was an accident, she said. The water just came down too fast, took the horse's feet out, and swept us in front of it. He got caught under a tree.
Gabrielle sighed, returning the hug.
For no purpose,
she replied, backing off to look Sirene in the eye.
Mom, why?
The innkeeper gazed unhappily at her.
I don't know if I have a good answer for that, Gabrielle.
She motioned for the bard to sit down, then reseated herself with a wince on the bed.
Eponin said Xena got hurt.
Distraction. Gabrielle recognized it when she saw it, having used it often enough herself.
She got kicked by a horse, she said. She's all right, though. What made the elders decide to come to Athens? Well...
Arrogance,
Johann said shortly.
Got an idea they was important people, and they were coming here to prove it.
Sirene eyed her husband. Joe!
It's the truth, and we both know it.
The ex-merchant stated firmly.
I argued with the fools for half a day, and got told never mind.
He turned and sat half up, leaning on one elbow.
They should have stayed home, and we should have too.
Sirene sighed.
Josk was a sick man. He had no business going on the road, and I told him that.
Johann went on.
Damn fool was just too damn stubborn.
Gabrielle just sat, listening quietly as she clasped her hands around her staff and leaned against it.
There have been times these past few days when I wished we'd stay home, she told them. There's just so much going on, and then we heard you were coming, and...
You heard? Sirene interrupted her.
Aphrodite told us, the bard explained. There's a whole big thing going on with Betts and the gods, and...
she exhaled.
It's just too complicated. Anyway, to make a very long story short, Xena and I are trying to win the game so the town's taxes will be forgiven.
Ah.
Johann nodded.
Better plan than we had.
Didn't speaking to them help?
Sirene asked.
The council's not in session. We got here too late. And by then...
A shrug.
Anyways... Besides that, I entered the Anthus Barge Challenge, which is tonight, so if you're not doing anything, I could use some friendly faces there.
Johann and Sirene exchanged glasses.
But why would you do that?
Sirene spluttered.
To keep this really nasty-looking woman from taking over the Bard's Academy. But...
The Bard's Academy?
Johan asked.
Yeah, but the nasty bard actually kidnapped an old friend of mine, and she's threatening to beat him up if I don't withdraw. So I kind of have to get back to the games arena so I can find Xena and...
Gabrielle.
Cyrene held her hand up.
Yes? Is it always like this when you two travel?
The bard scratched her chin.
Pretty much. Yeah.
She finally agreed, a touch sheepishly.
Well.
Johan laid back down. Cyrene gazed at her daughter-in-law.
Honey, I'm sorry we made things worse for you, she said quietly. I'll come back with you and get Dory. If you two are so involved in everything here, she's going to be impossible to keep track of.
Gabrielle thought about that.
Let me talk to Xena first,
she said.
I mean, I know you're right, but with all this stuff that's going on, she might feel better to have Dory with us.
A tickling suddenly erupted in her gut, accompanied by the oddest shiver that started on her back of her neck and went right down her spine. She sucked in a breath in pure reaction and got up.
Got something I need to go check out. Did you?
Cyrene pointed.
Dory's bag's there. Thanks.
Gabriel grabbed the sack and headed for the door, surprised by the tingling in her body and the eager flex of her fingers around her staff. It was almost as if she were looking forward to a battle. Gabriel almost stopped short as realization registered, almost overcome with a sense of confusion and dismay. She tried to dismiss the thought, but it was impossible to ignore the pumping of her heart and the darkling chills that on one level were almost sensual in their intensity. In the darkness of the hallway, she stumbled to a halt, leaning against the wall with her eyes closed and her hands shaking.
Gabrielle!
Effany's voice was sharp. She heard footsteps and then felt the warmth of her friend's hand as she took hold of her arm.
Eff!
Come over here and sit down,
the Amazon urged her.
Artemis's handbasket! You're white as a peach of new parchment!
No.
The sensation was slowly fading, and Gabrielle was able to straighten up, the chill subsiding and her heartbeat slowing and steadying.
I'm okay.
She felt her shoulders relax.
I just need a bite to eat,
she told her friend.
Got an apple or something?
Get over here. Effany scolded her. I've got a whole damn plate of blasted things.
Gabrielle felt the last traces of urgency leave her and acknowledged that Xena probably handled whatever it was that had caused the jolt.
Okay.
She allowed Effany to lead her over to the table, but she couldn't dismiss what she'd felt, or where it had come from, or that it hadn't been entirely unpleasant. Gabrielle nibbled a fig, thinking about that.
Xena twitched her light cape straight and made for the door, Dory securely strapped to her back in her carry sack. She wasn't expecting to need her weapons today, but she had her sword strapped to her back anyway, and her chakram was seated on her hip, underneath the linen cape.
Dory, remember now, leave the sword alone. Okay.
Dory tugged on her hair contentedly, apparently tying it into a knot.
Go have fun.
Xena chuckled and put her hand on the door latch, only to pause when she sensed the presence of an unseen watcher behind her. She stopped and turned, and only had a second or so to wait before Aphrodite materialized in front of her, stark naked.
Whoa there! Hold it right there, leather babe!
Xena's eyebrows lifted sharply.
You forget something? She asked.
Aphrodite rolled her eyes.
Okay, Miss Leather Babe, or is it Warrior Princess Leather Babe?
No, wait.
I swear, you sword jockeys are all alike, all ego and bluster. I swear I just have to wonder, like, what Gabriel sees in you because I...
Hey!
Xena had sucked in a lungful of air and used it to good purpose.
Yes?
Put some damn clothes on before my kid goes blind!
The warrior barked. The goddess looked down, then back up.
Oh!
She snapped her fingers.
Like, why don't you just say so?
A waft of pink fabric now draped her body as it floated in midair.
Happy now?
Xena put her hands on her hips.
Yeah, but you won't be in a second,
she remarked, aware of Dory's fascinated eyes peering over her left shoulder.
Your brother couldn't resist. He had his thugs sent a bunch of goons after me this morning.
Aphrodite regarded her.
Mondo el stupido,
she shook her head. So, let me guess, you're going to have to live up to your reputation and stay in the games, right?
Xena nodded.
The goddess threw her hands up.
I give up. I told that goofy, hunky mancho brain I'd taken care of this. What does he do?
She gave Xena a severe look.
You know, I bet he did it on purpose just because he gets off when you fight.
Shh! Xena covered Dory's ears with one hand.
Come on!
A snort.
Like she lives with you two and she doesn't know what Nookie is? Aphrodite snickered. Please, don't even.
Xena was shocked to find herself blushing.
Yes, you do, don't you, Geetie?
Aphrodite addressed Dory, who was peering at her with interest.
Do you know what this is?
Bah!
Dory pointed at her, then wrapped her arms around Xena's neck and put her head down on the warrior's shoulder.
Boo, 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 boo.
She warbled softly. The goddess of love repressed a smile.
Hey, that kid actually likes you, doesn't she?
You sound surprised, Xena remarked.
I am,
Aphrodite replied frankly. A little stung, Xena turned her head and looked at Dory, who gazed adoringly back at her. What about it, Dory?
Like me? Love, boo.
The tortola answered, reaching up and clutching at Xena's jaw. Xena smirked at the watching goddess.
What about her? She pointed at Aphrodite. She's mean, huh? We don't like her.
Dory scowled.
Back.
Hey!
Aphrodite protested.
I am so not mean. I'm the goddess of love, remember?
Selective, apparently.
Xena looked at her, pinning her with a cool glance.
Lighten up!
The goddess floated over, frowning.
I was just jazzing you, Xena.
She held out a hand to the now glaring Dory.
Come on, sweetie. Don't listen to her.
Don't you tell my child that.
Xena stepped back, her verbal hackles rising higher. Aphrodite paused and studied her curiously.
You didn't used to be this touchy, did you?
She asked seriously.
Did I?
Xena stared steadily back at her.
You come in here and tell me you're surprised my daughter likes me, and you think by objecting to that makes me touchy? Olympus needs new dictionaries.
The goddess exhaled, then reversed her position and floated to the ground, putting her feet on the stone floor and adjusting her diaphanous gown.
Okay.
She held both hands up.
Zzz. Snap the fingers. Reverse the whole scene we've just had here. We're so, like, not communicating.
Xena silently acknowledged her own prickliness and decided she must be close to one of her irregular cycles. She perched on the corner of her table and rummaged in Gabrielle's usual carrying bag, removing a trail bar and taking a bite of it as she waited for the goddess to continue. Her peripheral vision caught a small fist extending itself by her jaw, and she broke off a tiny piece of the bar and handed it over.
Hungry, shorty?
Cookie!
Dory mouthed the offering with approval.
Good!
Aphrodite's expression softened.
So, you gonna go open a crock of whoop out there, huh?
Xena shared another bite of her snack before entering.
I'm not going to stand by and watch two cities go to war for no good reason if I can do something about it, she said. So yeah, I give it the best shot I've got, and so will Gabrielle. And if an entire city of pampered, trained, well-fed, well-oiled athletes can't beat us, it's because we wanted it more and ours was the better cause.
The goddess sighed theatrically and propped her chin on her fist.
You're starting to sound like my brother.
Ares?
Xena's voice rose sharply.
Hercules,
Aphrodite replied.
Isn't that the kicker?
Xena frowned. Rolling her eyes, the goddess lifted her fingers to snap them.
Mortals.
She paused a moment, her eyes tracking up and down Xena's body. The edge of Aphrodite's lip twitched a little.
Well, mostly.
There was a sound like soap bubble popping, and she was gone, leaving behind scent of roses and a tall figure standing so still it almost seemed carved in the very stone. Minutes passed. Dory finally got restless, and she bounced against Xena's back.
Boo?
Slowly, the dark hair turned, and pale blue eyes regarded her.
Yeah?
Go fly?
Yeah.
In a minute. Xena walked over to the bed and sat down on it, resting her elbows on her knees and studying her folded hands between them. It wasn't as though she hadn't considered it. Wasn't as though she and Gabrielle hadn't discussed it. She wasn't stupid enough to think of some of the things she did fell with normal scope of mortal possibility. But she'd never had any confirmation one way or the other before, and now, just hearing it was surprisingly shocking to her. Shocking and annoying. Xena regarded her forearms with a scowl, acknowledging the fact that she wanted to believe everything she accomplished was due to her own will and a lot of hard work. She didn't want any help, but didn't want there to be a reason other than her own skills for what she did. She coveted her mortality. At least, Xena considered, the mostly was in a bizarre way comforting in its insignificance. If it had been true, then let it be just the barest of touches, hardly anything, really.
Boo?
Dory pulled on her ear.
More?
Just enough for this. Xena reached over her shoulder and tickled the daughter.
Hold on to your diaper, shorty.
She backed up and gathered her composure, then
then headed for the door.
"Are you sure you're okay?" Effany asked for the 10th time, as she studied the woman seated next to her.
"Getting in some extra practice for this motherhood thing?"
Gabrielle retorted.
"Effany, would you relax, please? You're worse than Xena."
"Xena." The regent nodded thoughtfully. "Good idea. I'll go find her and tell her you almost passed out."
"Effany."
"She's a healer," Effany continued, as if she hadn't heard. "I bet she's got a lot of herbs she could give you for that."
"Effany."
Gabrielle's voice dropped several notes as she drew out the name.
"I'm fine. Cut it out."
Hazel's eyes evaluated her. The bard's color had returned to its normal golden health, and she seemed to be acting normally, having eaten several slabs of bread and cheese, along with a piece of fruit. There was, however, just the faintest hint of edginess around her, and Effany hadn't missed the slow, repetitive motion of Gabrielle's fingers against her staff that was very close to being a fidget.
"Kate,"
Gabrielle turned to address the young woman,
"would you do a favor for me?"
"Absolutely,"
Kate responded immediately, leaning closer.
"Anything."
Now that, Effany noticed, got a familiar, relaxed grin from her friend.
"We had a young man working with us called Micah. He was supposed to go up to the gate and watch for you all, but we haven't heard from him since yesterday. Do you think you could look around and see if you could find him?"
"Certainly," Kate agreed.
"What does he look like? Pally and I will find him straight off."
Palladia glanced up, then rolled her eyes, shook her head, and returned attention to her plate.
"Well,"
Gabrielle considered,
"a little like you, really. He's about my height. He has straight, pale blonde hair like you do, and he's wearing a servant's toga."
"Right,"
Kate nodded.
"Up by the walls, then, is it?"
"Yes. He's also..."
The bard paused.
"He's wearing a necklace that has a small flower in the center, and a little gold bull hanging down from it,"
she said.
"I'm a little worried about him. He should have come back to the Games house last night." "We'll find him."
Kate got up, carefully wrapping her last bit of bread around a piece of smoked lamb before she took hold of the back of Palladia's leathers and slowly started walking off.
"Let's go, Pally."
"Hey!"
The bigger woman yelped, being pulled backwards off her chair.
"Hey, hey! You nutball! Cut that! Ow!"
With a thump, Palladia went over backwards, then scrambled to her feet and pulled herself free from Kate's implacable grip.
"You're such a..."
"Uh-uh."
Kate gave her a look.
"We've got a job to do."
Palladia turned and gave Gabrielle a look over her shoulder, sighing when the bard just grinned and waggled her fingers. Effany watched them leave, then chuckled. "Those two." She shook her head. "Who'd have ever thought they'd turn out the way they did?"
"I did,"
Gabrielle remarked.
"I told Z they would, and she accused me of having excessively romantic notions."
"Hmm." Effany chuckled. "I remember the first time I made a crack about the two of you being involved." She rolled her eyes. "Boy, did I get laughed at." One of Gabrielle's fair eyebrows arched sharply. Effany put her hand on her friend's arm. "It was after you stopped our war with the centaurs," she explained. "Don't get radical on me."
"Oh."
The bard picked up a grape and fingered it.
"Yeah, I guess the hero worship was showing pretty badly about then, huh?"
She spared a smile for her younger self.
"I remember looking across the campfire at Xena that night and seeing the marks Melissa had put on her and just being so overwhelmed at knowing she'd done that on my behalf."
A pause.
"My champion."
Gabrielle exhaled and shook her head a little.
"Even now, I say that and it gives me chills."
It had been a very dark night, a new moon, in fact, only the stars overhead giving any glimmer of light outside their campfire. Gabrielle had sat quietly on her side of the blaze, her new staff resting across her lap, as she studied its contours and tried to get used to the feel of it. On the firestone, a pot bubbled softly, releasing the scent of rabbit stew into the air, and Gabrielle had leaned forward to give it a stir as she snuck a glance at her quiet companion nearby. Xena was leaning back against Argo's saddle, with one knee raised and both of her hands clasped loosely around it. In the orange glow, Gabrielle could see the bruises and cuts she'd gotten in the fight with Melosa, though the warrior seemed herself oblivious to them. It wasn't that, though, she'd never seen Xena hurt before, Gabrielle had told herself, but this time, it was different. Gabrielle put her staff down and picked up the bigger of the two bowls. She carefully laid it full of stew, then picked up one of the loaves of bread she got from the village they'd passed just before sundown and carried it over to her friend. Xena looked up as she approached, and their eyes had met as Gabrielle knelt down next to her, offering the bowl to her in respectful silence.
"Thanks."
Xena had taken the dish from her.
Are we being formal for a reason? She half choked. Gabriella sat down then, borrowing a tiny corner of Xena's furs, and hugged her knees to her chest, feeling nervous, grateful, and just a little overwhelmed.
I was just thinking about what happened.
With the Amazons?
Yeah.
It worked out, Xena stated.
I know. I just...
Gabriel struggled with an emotion she could hardly even put to a name, to...
You fought Melissa for me.
Xena's dark head cocked to one side, a faintly puzzled look appearing on her face.
Of course I did, Gabriel. She'd beaten you to a pulp, the warrior said. But you got hurt.
Gabriel studied the very visible bruises.
Nah.
Xena shrugged.
Yes, you did, Xena. I can see that.
The bard had argued.
Can I get you some salve or some... or...
Gabriel. Xena put a hand out and held the bard's wrist. The bard had swallowed hard and met those pale blue eyes timidly.
Yes?
It's all right. The warrior's voice had gentled unexpectedly. They're just a few cuts.
Driven by something deep inside her, Gabriel covered Xena's hand with her own, squeezing the long fingers as she looked intently into her friend's eyes. It's just...
She had to pause.
I've never had a champion before, and it's a really nice feeling.
Her voice cracked on the last words, and she had to drop her gaze as her throat tightened and a lump formed. She felt so strange, almost like she was a different person. This half-naked kid with a stick she'd more likely trip over than hurt anyone with, pretending to be not only grown up, but an Amazon to boot. She felt Xena loosen her grip on her hand and flushed with embarrassment, until she felt the warmth of Xena's palm on her cheek, as she lifted her head in surprise.
I've never been anyone's champion before,
the warrior had said, simply.
You're right. It is a nice feeling.
Xena had hesitated a moment, and I can't think of anyone else I'd rather fight for.
Under those stars, on that dark night, by the small fire,
Gabriel suddenly felt 10 feet tall, and more special than she'd ever thought she could feel in all her life.
Does that mean you'll always be my champion?
She'd given the warrior a big grin. Xena had smiled back with a quiet, wistful look in her eyes that Gabriel had not understood until much later.
Always.
Effany watched her curiously. What does it feel like knowing you could do it all yourself now? She asked, her train of previous thought derailed. You can, you know.
The bard's jaw shifted slightly. Then she looked up and met Effany's gaze. Those light green eyes, once open now, layered with quiet shadows and shades of experience.
I wouldn't,
Gabriel answered softly.
Not as long as she can.
Effany absorbed that. Is that how she wants it?
That's how I want it,
the bard answered. All right by me. The Amazon region agreed quietly. So, now tell me about this. What is it? Bardic challenge.
Gabriel, how do you get involved in all of this stuff in less than a week? Don't ask.
Gabriel propped her chin up on her fist and gave her friend a humorous look, glad of the change of subject.
I didn't mean to. I just stopped by the academy to look up an old friend, and bam! Next thing I know, they're asking me to help out to keep this other bard from taking over.
Really?
Yeah.
We did that once.
Gabriel frowned, then let out a tiny laugh.
Yeah, I guess you did, didn't you?
Well, we'll be there, cheering,
Effany assured her. One pocket of friendliness in a sea of citified centaur butts with bad attitudes. She indicated the bag Gabriel had slung over her shoulder.
Going shopping? Mind some company?
Effany liked shopping as much as Xena did, and Gabriel knew that.
Sure,
she agreed, getting to her feet and stretching.
I'd love some company.
Great. Come on, Pwn. Let's go shopping.
Effany grabbed her partner and held her upright. You need some new boots.
No, I don't.
Pwn looked down. Sure you do. Effany bumped her towards the door. What about a new knife you wanted?
What knife?
See? Told you needed one. Gabriel chuckled as she led her Amazon guard out the door towards the market.
A Matter of Pride, Part 10.
Xena strode through the marketplace with quiet confidence, evading the slower shoppers and ignoring the look she was getting from those who recognized her. She edged around several small groups of citizens, everyone spending some time browsing before heading to the game stadia to watch the day's events.
Boo! Cookie!
An imperious warble made her turn her head to see where Dory was pointing. Sure enough, a small store nearby was selling fresh rolls and small honey cakes, along with cups of sweet wine, to an eager crowd.
Boo!
Shh! Xena reached up and clasped the baby's hand. I see him. Just relax, would you? She made her way through the crowd and waited behind a rotund, sweating man in a stained toga. He was arguing with the stall's owner, much to the surrounding crowd's annoyance.
Come on, get on with it already,
a woman next to Xena muttered, then glanced up. Xena returned her gaze, stolidly.
How adorable,
the woman beamed at her.
Stannis, isn't she just precious?
Xena sincerely hoped they were talking about Dory. She followed the small man's eyes and exhaled in relief as they fastened on the small head peering over her right shoulder.
What a beautiful child,
the man commented.
Yours, truly. She's your image.
He waggled his fingers at Dory, who grinned back at him.
What a sweetheart.
Xena's head tilted a little in bemusement, having never had this particular experience before. She was used to being with Dory, of course, but in Amphipolis and its surrounding areas. But she and the child were well known, and little commented on. She glanced back at her daughter and smiled at the baby's bright-eyed, intelligent look.
Yeah, she's mine, she said without really thinking about it.
Thanks.
Thieves! A lot of you!
The man in front of Xena finally cursed in exasperation. He slapped the coin onto the board. He was given his order and edged away, leaving Xena to face the vendor.
Give me two of those. She pointed at the cakes.
Cookie!
Dory gurgled approvingly, as those watching chuckled.
Ah, the young lady knows what she likes, I see.
The stall owner laughed.
Excellent taste, I may say.
He selected two of the larger specimens and handed them over.
There you go, my dear.
You know what you like? Xena broke one of the cakes in half and handed it over. Let's see if you're right. Dory immediately ripped part of the outside of the cake off and mouthed it, a serious expression on her face. She looked up at Xena. Xena had to laugh, both at the baby's expression and the forest of crumbs now trickling down her shoulder.
All right, come on.
She collected the rest of the cakes and paid the vendor, prayerfully aware that the attitudes of the people surrounding her were definitely more friendly than she'd experienced the day prior. She edged out of the crowd and continued through the market, munching on her own cake as her eyes traveled idly over the stores.
Boo! More!
Dory reached a grubby fist past her jawbone.
Ah-ah! Xena scolded her. What do you say?
Boo!
No.
Boo!
Nuh-uh.
Dory pulled a bit of Xena's hair. The warrior stopped walking and gave the baby a stern look, raising an eyebrow at her. Dory giggled, putting a sticky finger in her mouth.
Dory?
Xena waited for her hair to be released, then continued on.
What do you say?
Dory grunted and squiggled around.
Please?
Good girl.
Xena handed over the rest of the cake. Trust me, Shorty, you'll get a lot more, a lot easier, if you learn that word now.
She reached out a hand and lightly touched a colorful, softly draping bit of fabric, hearing Dory gurgle in reaction.
No, you'd tear this right up, Dory, but I can think of someone else who'd really look good in it. She grinned to herself.
Your mama.
Mama!
Dory agreed. Xena smiled and continued on, cutting through the lower end of the market on her way towards the rest of the family was staying. Halfway across, she felt her instincts prickle and her defenses come up, validated immediately when two large men stepped into her path. Their attitude was more officious than threatening, but it was obvious they expected compliance with whatever it was they wanted. Xena stopped, giving herself plenty of space to react without hurting any bystanders. There weren't many, though, she noticed. They all moved away when her two big friends showed up.
Yeah?
She eyed them sourly.
The council's wishes to speak with you.
About damn time.
I thought they weren't in session, Xena replied.
You will come with us,
the bigger of the two men responded.
With no arguments.
Xena put her hands on her hips. I'll go talk to the council, she said. But let's just get something very straight first. I've got my kid with me, and if anyone looks at me the wrong way, I'm going to start cutting limbs off. Understand?
The man's eyes flicked to Dory's innocent little face, then back to Xena's.
That's not a threat, the warrior said mildly. It's just a fact. Her safety is worth a lot more to me than your lives. They looked at each other.
Understood,
the big man said.
Follow us.
Xena amiably nodded, then strolled after them, aware of the furtive glances she was getting from the people they passed. They traveled through the market and up along a sloping side street, arriving on a long, broad avenue that was noticeably sparse in population. Here, the white stone building facades were hidden behind porticluses thick with trained ivy and shaded by trees, and the smell of the city was much reduced. A quick look between buildings showed her the reason. Stone aqueducts trickled water down the hill, taking human and other refuse to the lower levels. Xena's lips twitched into a sardonic expression, but she kept her opinions to herself as she turned to follow her two guides up to a set of broad, finely chiseled steps to a set of hammered bronze covered doors. A guard reviewed them expressionlessly, then opened the portal and allowed them inside. Incense tickled Xena's nose, and she crossed the threshold. Dory sneezed abruptly, causing the warrior to smile a moment later.
You like that? She murmured to the child.
Meck.
Me either.
Now the warrior could smell the distinctive scent of wool and the sharp tang of brass as they moved along the corridor. Her guide stopped before an arched doorway and motioned her inside. She stepped neatly around them and entered, pausing just inside the door and looking around. It was a large room, the walls draped in beautiful woven rugs, with a softly tinkling fountain in the center of it. In the rear was the dais, and on the dais were six men dressed in silk, so rich Xena could smell it from where she was. They were all impeccably groomed, and more or less of the same age. Xena made a point of studying them as they were studying her, before she glided towards them, very aware of the picture she made in her brief athlete's outfit. She felt Dory rest her chin on her shoulder as she peered around with interest, and knew by the sudden exchanged glances that her little passenger was definitely an unexpected complication in their plans. Xena grinned. Good.
What can I do for you,
gentlemen?
She drawled, pausing before the die and putting one booted foot on it. There was a moment's awkward silence. Then the men all looked at the tall man in the center of the die. He cleared his throat.
I thought it was time we talked,
he said.
My name is Minos, and I lead the council here.
Xena stepped up to the steps and sat down in one remaining chair, leaning on one arm of it and regarding him.
And?
She extended her long legs out and crossed them at the ankles. Another awkward silence. Minos leaned forward.
Why are you here?
Me?
Xena pointed at her chest, her eyes widening in mock surprise.
Yes. We have had these games planned for the better part of a year, and now you come here and upset everything. Why?
Xena had to wonder if the heat hadn't got to him.
You sent your tax collector to my neck of the woods and threatened to send the army down if we didn't give up most of what we earned for the year, for no good reason I could see, she stated. That's why I'm here.
Two of the council members leaned over and whispered to Minos. He spoke under his breath to them, and they spread their hands out.
Well,
Minos said,
everyone must pay taxes.
Why? Xena asked.
Because it's the law.
The warrior shrugged. Fine. Then I'm obeying the law and using my rights under it in an attempt to relieve us of those taxes. So what's your problem? She asked, then grinned. Other than the fact that we're winning. Minos got up and paced around behind the stone table on the dais.
Do you realize how much money you're costing us?
He asked finally.
I couldn't care less, Xena said. You couldn't care less how your taxes are raping Amphipolis. Why should I care if Athens gets the same treatment?
They all stared at her.
Good!
Dory bubbled in approval.
Badmen go fishies!
Xena chuckled.
No, we'll save that for later, Shorty.
Minos sighed.
All right. What deal do you want?
He asked at last.
Name your price.
Xena wiggled a booted foot at him. I don't want a deal. You've got nothing I want. I figure me and Gabrielle will win this thing, get our taxes relieved, stop you from going to war with Sparta, spread some wealth out to the provinces who's caught a clue, and started betting on us. Then we can go home and leave you to clean up the mess this damn thing's gonna leave.
You are that confident?
Minos asked.
Yes, Xena replied quietly. You can't stop me. No one can.
She let a little of the darkness into her eyes and felt the prickle of energy lift the fine hairs on her arms.
There are legal options,
the man replied meaningfully.
They could have severe consequences to you.
Xena shrugged one shoulder. Maybe, if you can prove anything. A chill settled in her belly despite her casual speech. She had been racking her memory to find anything major that Athens could have against her, but the receding details of time were eluding her.
You're going against the gods' wishes,
another man spoke up.
We won't have to do anything, Minos. The Avatar said... Hush!
The senior council member glared at him. Then he returned his attention to Xena.
There must be some agreement we can come to. If winning this means nothing to you but your taxes, we can negotiate, surely.
Talking. Xena didn't like talking. However, she knew someone who did. You never know, she said, watching their ears perk up. But that's not my arena. I could ask our chief negotiator to meet with you. Minos squared his shoulders, obviously relieved.
Excellent. Yes, that would be for the best. I'm sure we can talk this out.
His eyes went to Dory's face.
We don't want anyone getting hurt after all.
Bad!
Dory pointed at him with a scowl.
Boo! Got it, fishies!
Yeah, Xena agreed musingly. All right. After the archery, I'll be back. We can talk. Minos smiled.
I knew we could come to an understanding.
Xena got up and dusted herself off. Then she turned and walked out, her mind turning over the options now presenting themselves to her. On the one hand, she didn't think Athens had any capital against her, so she doubted her life was in danger from any legal action. However, spending time in Athens, notorious prisons, wasn't her idea of any good thing.
Boo!
Leaving her family wasn't any good kind of thing either.
Yes?
Batmans!
Yeah.
Xena agreed as they emerged into the warming day outside.
Bad men's, bad city, bad smells. Wish we could just go home.
Go fishies!
For herself, Xena was always ready to accept responsibility for her past actions. But she reached up and let Dory grab some of her fingers. She wasn't ready to sacrifice the half of her family, and leaving them would do that and more. Would it come down to a choice between her greater good and Athens? Xena pursed her lips in a gently rueful expression. Gabrielle heard the raised voices as she trotted down the street on her way back to their quarters. She had Dory's bag slung over one shoulder and her own bag stuffed full of goodies for her usually voracious family. The yells, however, had a strident tone to them that caught her attention, and she altered her path towards the sound. As she emerged from the narrow alley, she caught sight of a crowd of people clustered around a wagon. A tall, heavily built man was standing on the back of it, pointing and making the noises she heard. He had a whip in one hand, and Gabrielle suddenly recognized the firewood drover from down the hill. He had gotten a new pony, she saw, as she eased through the crowd, this one even more hapless-looking than the last.
You lazy bastard! Move!
The drover yelled, uncoiling his whip with a sinuous motion and sending it forward to smack against something with a wicked crack. Gabrielle managed to duck between two women and get a view of his target. Her whole body jerked in recognition as her eyes tracked over the victim's face.
Micah!
She pushed forward more aggressively.
Hey! Cut that out!
The bard directed a voice towards the drover.
What do you think you're doing?
The man turned and with a savage motion, flicked the whip backwards and caught Gabrielle right across the face with it.
Shut up, you scumbag!
The pain was intense, but Gabrielle reacted from long years of training, dropping the bag she was carrying and swinging her staff around to block the second lash. She could feel blood running down her face, but the shock was wearing off as the man took a step towards her. She drew in a breath and squared her balance, bringing her weapon down and around at a much faster pace to crack against his knees with enough force to jar her arms. The man yelped in pain and stumbled backwards. Gabrielle pursued him, jabbing at his groin with the end of her staff and forcing him back until he reached the back end of the wagon. She let out a yell and did a reverse, whacking him on the side with the end of her weapon and sending him over to the side to fall heavily on the floor. She was aware of the low grumbling around her, but she ignored it as she hopped over the fallen wood and went to Micah's side. He was lying on the ground, lash marks painfully visible on his body.
What on earth are you doing here?
The bard asked as she knelt.
I got sold,
Michael explained simply.
I didn't think they could do that, but...
He glanced around.
You shouldn't have interfered. It was his right.
Gabriel looked up and around to find very hostile faces surrounding her.
It was his right to beat you?
She asked. Two of the others were helping her antagonist up.
Who asked you to interfere?
One man shouted.
Little busybody! Hey, it's the one from Amphipolis! Yeah, lost me 2 months' wages!
Gabriel felt a chill settle down her back. Slowly, she stood up and braced her legs, bringing her staff up as she protected Micah's prone form. The crowd closed in.
Let's get two for one, then!
One man laughed.
Come on, lads! We'll have some fun!
Gabriel, get out of here.
Little too late for that,
the bard told him quietly, as she crouched a little, her eyes flicking across the oncoming crowd. Her staff wasn't the best weapon in this kind of mass melee, since it tended to get grabbed. And there were a lot of them, grabbing, and they were all bigger than she was. Gabriel closed her eyes for a brief instant and let out a mental yell for help. Then she met the first man with a stick. Determined to stay on her feet as long as she could. She knocked the wood out of the man's hands and knocked him to one side with her staff, then brought the weapon back across her body and took out a second. They kept coming. She used a short, savage cutting blows, keeping her staff close to her body and making it move faster than they could grab.
Son of a Buckeye!
A stick bounced off her body, and Gabriel ducked as a box followed. The crowd was wild now, yelling and surging, afraid to come within reach of her staff. But determined to take her down. Two rushed her, and she turned her staff flat and met them, catching them just below the shoulder, moving forward with all her strength, enough to off-balance them and send them sprawling. Another box came her way, and she only just turned in time, letting it hit her back. A jolt of pain followed, sending a numbing shock down her arms, and she stumbled forward. Another stick hit her. She brought her staff up as she shook the stars out of her eyes, but three of them came her horn once, and she only got two of them. The third crashed into her, and they both went to the ground. Gabriel felt her staff ripped out of her hands, and a suffocating weight of humanity drop on her. Then something hit the back of her head very hard, and it all just went dark. To be continued. Well, that concludes the latter part of Part 9, and almost the first half of Part 10. I hope everyone's enjoying the show so far. And I know that's cruel to leave it at that spot of, in suspense, but it's, it's getting more excited now, and it's getting more intense. And as you can see, the show is getting quite long. So we're going to leave it there for this week's episode. So don't forget to, start sending in your stories, one or two pages for the 100th episode. It'll give me time to gather them, to read them, and, sort out the winner. Also, start sending in your recipes, your favorite recipes, so that we can post them on the show and also make the weekly Recipe Corner announcement. And if you have any suggestions for the show, or if you have any announcements, birthdays, weddings, celebrations, commitment ceremonies, or song snippets, something that you want to dedicate or just want to hear, please send them in to me at xena.uber@gmail.com. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.